The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
It is time, finally, for the two-man game podcast. We took a little two-week break for the two-man game podcast, Coach.
Yeah.
There's something there I was going for, but it didn't work.
We're back.
How you doing, man?
Well, why did we take a break? Recruiting.
Yeah, you're a busy guy.
I mean, these are Thursday schedule for me and you. And the last 2 weeks were the two live weekends for club basketball. So like the AAU basketball. So 2 weekends ago, I went out to Vegas to watch the Nike EYBL, EYCL. But also, unintended consequences, I got a chance to watch our guy St. Thomas in the NBA Summer League. And then also, I was hoping Danker was going to play it. He did not, but he had workouts out there. So I actually took Quinn Danker, my wife, and I took him out to eat on a Friday night. And as we all know, he's got a million food allergies. So he was a little late, so I sent the menu to him ahead of time. I said, order some stuff. Of course, Danker's like, well, he's like, what's your Apple Pay? I said, if you think you're paying for this, dude, like, get over here. You got so many allergies. I got to know what you can eat. But took him to a place. If you're ever out in Vegas, Brady, the Firefly. And there, I don't sponsor them, but if you like tapas, like small hot plates, shareable plates, special. The old school
pretty
one.
Pretty much anything. Yeah.
If you're bored, you know, reach out to Coach Linder about the old school one. And he's the one that introduced me to Firefly years and years ago. They shut down the old, dilapidated building and they rebuilt it into a really nice place, which is disappointing. It doesn't have quite the same, like, you know, history and flavor, but man, it's really good. So anyways.
Firefly.
Yeah, I got to see Danker. And anyway, so Nike, Vegas, 2 weeks ago. Then last week, I had to miss this because I flew to, of all places, for the first time in my life, Louisville, Kentucky, for the Under Armour Association Finals. I'd never been to Louisville, but Under Armour moved down there this year to the Kentucky Expo Center. And so we've been off for 2 weeks, man.
Who's playing in this?
Yeah.
What's the age group?
So, good question. 17s, 16s, 15s. I mean, we don't recruit that young, the 15s. So really what you're talking about is 17U, which is incoming seniors, and 16U, incoming juniors, but mainly the 17s. And what's crazy, if you want to talk about our team, you know, 14 guys this year, we don't have one senior. This new rule change. This is how this whole thing kind of lumps together. And we're going to talk about Brock in a second, too.
Got to ask you about that.
Yeah. So like the 5 for 5, because of that, I have no seniors on this roster. I don't even know if we're calling them seniors, fifth year. Who knows what we call these guys going forward? But why does that matter? Well, now we've got all these good 17U kids, like, you know, and their coaches and the kids, like, you know, you're going to offer. And I don't know what we're going to do because right now, in theory, I could bring our whole team back. I know that's not going to happen. I know some guys are going to hop in the portal and this and that. But I was talking to a club coach last night, and he wanted to know kind of what our status was on some kids. I said, look, I just don't know yet because talk about Ring Neary. This point in time, last year, a year ago, into the summer, Ring Neary had been coming in from UMKC. He averaged like 1 point a game as a freshman. He had a good summer, but he was hurt a little bit. I couldn't tell what he really was. If I would have known Ring Neary would have done what he did throughout the year, and next thing you know, he's going to ACC, Wake Forest, several $100,000, probably going to be their starting three, I would have never predicted that at this point in time, right? You have to kind of let it play out. So for these guys, one, their high school guys to get recruited, I don't know what to do yet. So it's like, it's good to get out there and see it. You know, we're all over the place, but like, yeah, we're watching 17U's, 16U's. It is extremely complicated with this current 2027 class, but it was good to see the guys.
Coach, let me ask you a side question here. How will the 5 for 5, because that's obviously taking effect now. It's going now,
it's
right?
It's happening.
How will that affect the seniors in high school?
That's the whole problem.
Next year.
They're at a massive concern. They are massively concerned. And again, it's like, I'm telling you, there's guys that maybe in theory are good enough in the past to give a recruit, like, let's just say a CU. Well, maybe CU can't go on those guys. So then, like, those coaches are like, well, you'll take them, right? Not guaranteed. They're like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, that kid maybe is good enough to play at CU. And it's like, maybe. And sure, he's good enough to play, but I still don't know if I can take him. It is a complete cluster in trying to figure out what's going on. So like, yeah, those kids, it's not, so my kid, as I speak from my frame of reference, Madden, 2026 is they got through okay.
Because he's already through, right?
Yeah, like, and our current freshmen, who I can talk about, obviously Jeremiah Hamm and Drew Payne. Okay, those guys are good, right? But when we always knew this was going to happen in 2027 as these rules started to shift around. Now we don't know for that class. By the 2028 class, it'll be fine.
It'll even out, right?
It'll be fine.
Okay.
But this 2027 class has got real problems, and it does pertain to like a Brock Wisney, this, that, whatever. But when we've now expanded from 4 years to five, right? Now these guys aren't off the books next year. Now we've got to call them juniors or fourth year guys. They could have a fifth year. And mm-hmm. So now it's totally changed.
Is it, and I have seen so many different variations of this, but is this, you have to be, once you hit 19, your calendar goes,
yeah,
or is it
like,
once you enroll in
school?
Yeah,
well, so I know like our compliance people, and you know, obviously headed by Rachel Walton. If Rachel was listening, she would be pulling her hair.
We need to get Rachel on.
She's the best. Like, yeah. She would be awesome to talk
Let's
to.
It.
It's not five for five. And she's right. It's age-based eligibility is the truth. So it's like, you don't get 5 years if you come in at 21. You get 3 years.
You get three.
So,
whether you didn't enroll in NCAA at all, it's all about age.
Now, our Australian kid who hasn't been here all summer, who we think is going to be an awesome player for us, he's going to technically be a freshman, but he's going to, because of the age, he's coming in at 22 years old. He's only going to get 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you want to call him a freshman? Do you want to call him a fourth? I don't know what you call him. So it is age-based. It is age-based.
Five after 19.
So, like, you got to play the math on it. But, like, it does – it really affects these 2027 kids. And we're literally feeling it. Like, I went out and saw kids, and our whole staff was out. And, you know, last week, and Coach Klopp was down in Texas watching the Puma, New Balance, whatever thing. And I was on Under Armour the week before. Coach Reed was watching Adidas. Coach Green was watching Under Armour. Like, so, like, we're watching all this stuff. We have opinions. We have to evaluate. We don't know what we're going to do with those opinions quite yet because we don't know – hey, like, really, we might be able to hold on to a lot of these guys. And then the other thing, too, is if the federal thing comes, the Save, Protect College Sports thing, the kind of Trump thing, if that happens, one of the caveats in that thing, I think, is that you only get one transfer. Okay, well, why does that matter? Well, now, let's say you have a really good young player. Well, that good young player might come here for his freshman year, then transfer somewhere to, you know, go make $250 his second year, then that parlays into $1 million. Well, now, and that this is not passed yet, but it could. If the Protect College Sports thing passes and you only get one transfer, you know you have 5 years. Let's say you're really good as a freshman. Well, if you only get one transfer, you transfer somewhere as a sophomore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make some more money, whatever it is. Okay. But if you make the wrong transfer, you're stuck.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Yeah.
Because they get, right? You're for 4 years. So now you better be a lot more careful about how you shape around. Maybe it makes more sense to stay. You know, you've carved out a role as a freshman if you're good. Now, maybe you get 2 or 3 years at your first place to parlay that into your second place. So now, again, there's no guarantee that the
– Wow.
Right now, like, okay, we've seen kids transfer 4 or 5 times. Now, if that legislation eventually happens from a federal standpoint, it gets passed down to the NCAA, now you might not want to transfer right away. So now there might be less transferring.
Which I hope so. And again,
that could be a good thing.
I know so many of the reasons as to why kids should be able to transfer. I get all that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of reasons. They can be personal reasons. The coach and the kid just don't get along.
For sure.
The coach leaves.
For sure.
I think there should be exceptions, certain ones, and you have to really go into that. But as a fan, I'll tell you, coach, being able to follow a Brock Wisney or, you know, guys for 3+ years, Zach Block, like those guys. That's such a fun thing for a fan.
Awesome. And I love it, too.
And I'm not saying, like, you've had plenty of players that have come here for 1 year, like St. Thomas, that are a blast, and I love that, too.
Yep.
I like a good variation.
Yep.
Now, when the entire roster is 14 dudes that, okay, they're either freshmen or they're all transfers, that could be a great team. It could be.
Could be.
But it's tough for the fans to latch. And again, a lot of these listeners on these podcasts, I know they're diehard fans, and they like to get invested.
Yeah.
It with these players
right.
And get to know them over time. So, to me, one of the biggest things to really help us save college sports if it needs saving is that transfer portal situation.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, that and we're already in the right direction. I think the five years to play 5 years, because if you never registered and you only played 4 years and you transfer a couple times, you're not graduating. There's again exceptions to that rule,
mm-hmm.
but every time you transfer, you even if you're a great student, you're going to lose some credits.
Yeah.
School A's, this class doesn't transfer into this, you know, institution. So now, at least with 5 years, we're in the right direction. You got to graduate these guys, right? So now, having 5 years, throwing out the redshirting, which, you know, throw out the redshirt, throw out the medical redshirt. We just get 5 years to play 5 years. Okay. Which is, that's where it is right now. That now it will help, I believe it will help graduation rates. Now, if we get to the point where you can only transfer once without a penalty, I guess. I would assume you can still transfer, but like one time where you can play right away. I think that's what the legislation is pushing for. If that happens, right, now you're not going to be this school to this school to this school to this school. Fans have no idea who's who, right? You're not graduating. There's a downside to this thing, man. Yeah. So, I agree. It's like the player our fans know the most right now is going to be Eden Shields, going into his fourth year, and he's been productive, right? He should be a great player for us. So like, okay, I know Egan. I know Delano. I know Arik a little bit, right? Like, okay, so like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But I understand your point. You got these new guys, freshmen, transfers, you know, Aussies, internationals, what, like, who are these guys?
Right.
So that's where it's even on us, like we have to understand that we have to really push content out so our people can kind of wrap their heads. We got to do events. We had a private event for our Round Ball X to see these guys. Great turnout. Some of our top donors to see them early on. And we just had a picture of the roster. Like, who are these guys, right? So they can see them there. Then, you know, we break some bread, eat lunch. They introduce themselves. We got to find ways to connect, right? Because it is. It's not as easy to say, oh, Zach's been here 5 years. That's not what it is. And so we've got to – we can complain about it, but we also have to find a way to connect people too.
Well, and I have to refresh too. I mean, I've been following you along in this journey of every player you've picked up, and I'm still like, wait a second, I need to go through and refresh.
Oh, it's hard.
You guys have your roster.
It's hard for
updated.
Me. Don't beat yourself up. It's hard.
Like, basketball banter, I'm taking screenshots. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I got to take notes, and I'm still like, wait a second, who did they get? But it's kind of like in the pros too. Like, you and I are both NBA fans.
Sure.
We love the idea of going and getting the Tim Hardaway Jr. That's cool.
Yeah.
But
we love Jokic.
But you love Jokic. Jamal.
Gordon. Been around.
Christian Brown. You drafted him. You're working him up. Peyton Watson. You like your foundation guys, and you sprinkle in those free agents and trades too. So it is a mix.
It's a lot. Again, that's where it's a lot more like professional sports now. Like, hopefully you can have your Jokic and your Gordon, you know, the stalwarts. But the other problem too is, like, no matter what, they got to graduate. So, like, you can hold on to Jokic if you can pay him for 9 years.
Yeah.
Well, again, age base, you only get 5 years max with these guys.
Right.
You know, a Brockett will get to him, or a Quinn. Like, you can probably hold on those guys forever, but there's still a cap on when they got to go and move on.
Yeah. So with the 5 year thing, or after 19, we're not doing redshirt anymore.
No.
Is that gone? Is that term?
Yes.
Is it the way of the dinosaur? We're not going to use it anymore. Injury redshirt, freshman redshirt.
I'm not redshirt, my guys.
Yeah.
My son, whether he plays 0 minutes or 16 minutes or 36 minutes of Wyoming, I don't think there's any possibility of a redshirt.
Do you think they'll be able to, like, appeal, like, if they, like, break their leg or something? And
understand right now is that's the point, is throw it away. Because now you get 5 years. That's the point.
That's it. So,
there's going to be some downsides to it.
That would be the one.
Yeah.
Coach, I just want to ask you quickly on this one. We're on this Brock Wisney story.
Yeah.
Of course, I know Ann Delaney put a piece out in the Greeley Tribune, former UNC Bears hoops player. Denver Post hit it.
Yep.
Of course, Brock is ineligible because this act was any player that graduated in the spring.
2022, basically a class of 2022. Yeah, man. It's
all those players in spring of 26.
It's the kids that, like Brock and Langston as well, that played 4 years of college basketball because they did not redshirt, and they're done.
It's almost like they're being punished for being a good freshman.
That's right. Whereas the other kids, right, get one more year that redshirt, or the kids before the previous, like COVID years, things like that, Pavia rules, all these different things. Basically, it's saying, okay, and I'm not a great legal expert, but the people before them all in theory got 5 years.
Yeah.
Now the people after them all get 5 years. They only get four. And when you talk about a Brock, and sort of Langston there too, but you talk about a Brock because now it's out there, Denver Post, and when Brock got into this lawsuit, and Brock is like the most humble, I don't want to say introvert, but like he doesn't want any of this attention.
No,
he does
not
like
that.
This.
Yeah.
But, and ultimately, he's signed to play professionally in Spain. We all know that. He had a great opportunity. But the idea of the lawsuit is that, okay, am I losing wages, right? Because now Brock is at a point in time that, I mean, you know, he's if he did stay in college, and he could if this works or whatever.
If they win this case, he could go back.
He's
even
in the
though
portal.
It's July, late
and
July.
He didn't want to get in the portal. I'm like, just get in the portal just in case some of this works and you change your mind, right? So he's in the portal. You have to at least be in the portal. And all those kids at the time were graduating. They had to get in the portal just to make sure, like, hey, I could come back to somewhere, right? So now – he would honestly be worth several hundreds of thousands of dollars. We don't have that money. But if he got the lawsuit to pass, got the injunction, whatever, and you've seen it in Ohio or whatever, there's already one of these that happened, that those 15 players got the injunction. Well, now Brock, wherever his lawsuit's at, if they get it, if a judge comes in and gives the injunction, he could play another year of college basketball. That's his choice whether he does it or not. We talk about it all the time. And the idea is that okay, I think in his mind, and it's public, you know, he's engaged now, he's trying to move on his life, right? But, okay, if you do get the get out of jail card where you can play another year, do you do it? Now, for the people saying, "Will it come back to the Bears?" 99% no. Hmm. We can't financially pay what, you know, the team in Spain pays, and Brock's never about the money, but this needs to be about the money as well, in the sense of like, hey dude, you gotta look at your life and your, you know, future wife and family and this and that, right? Like, if you get the chance to make $600,000, $800,000, $1 million for 7 months, the summer's already done, right? So for 7 months, and there are teams all over the place that would take him right now. For that,
and you think around that, maybe around that amount?
I think so. I mean, knowing what the market
would
is,
would make sense. Yeah.
Absolutely, I'd say well north of $500,000. Wow. Well north of $500,000. That at what point in time do you have to listen, Brock? Like, you know what I mean?
Isn't that it's refreshing, but also kind of special hearing you talk like this, because it's like, dude, Brock, like he would be content, whatever. But this is an opportunity, man. You should enter that portal if you can get through.
And we talked a couple nights ago, and it's like, and I was like, hey, dude, I told you when you got in this lawsuit, you're gonna have to handle the noise, right? Because you're in the lawsuit. So, like, you're going to have to handle the noise, and that's fine. And you can still squash all of it and just go to Spain. You got a great opportunity. But also, you're out there now, and bam, Greeley Tribune grabs it, KFK grabs it, Denver, but your name's right there.
Yeah.
So, like, that's part of the deal. And so now these other schools, they're seeing your name, and like people starting to reach out to us like, yo, like he's in a portal. I'm like, well, initially the take was like, coach, I don't want to even entertain coming back to college for a year. But I think as Brock's understanding the value of the money.
Yeah.
And okay, you got to look at it. And if you do decide to do it, in my opinion, it's not going to hurt your career. What if you go to some, you know, and this is all Power Four stuff, right? Like Power Four, highest level stuff. You go to a Power Four place. You play well. You're not going backwards in the sense of where your initial starting point is in your professional career. But what if you play really well and now you're doing it at the highest levels? What if that opens up doors? Who knows? NBA-wise, who knows, right? Like, what if you think about what Brock did last year? Good game against CU, but look what he did against Texas Tech.
Yep. It was a monster game.
Monster. What if that's who you are? What if you could play at that level and be that guy, right? Well, now, I mean, we're talking EuroLeague, NBA, like, who knows, right? So, yeah, what I've told Brock, I am not influencing this is grown man decision. You got to do what you got to do. Like, I have no dog in the fight. We know we can't keep you. But the same way, he's such a loyal dude. He's been loyal to us. He's loyal to, I already signed a contract. I get it. What happens? Well, I think what would happen if he did decide to go back to college is that college team, they're going to have to buy out his contract. There's a buyout clause in all these professional contracts. So there's all these different things to look at. And again, I don't want to speak for Brock, I don't know, but he's in the lawsuit.
Right.
The lawsuit is to say, we feel like we should get another year. That's where we're at. And it's funny too, is we're almost in August, right? School's almost here.
I know.
We just finished 8 weeks with our current guys.
Right.
So I don't know.
That's what's so tough is, like, obviously it goes to a Power Four type of team. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a team that, even through all their changes and roster development, they still look at their roster and go, yeah, we're pretty weak.
There's a million teams like that. This is what's important. There's a million teams like that. There are teams that don't even have 10 guys in their summer school sessions because they're getting international guys cleared amateur-wise, whatever it is. They're waiting on this. There are guys that play in the NBA Summer League that, in theory, will come back to college. How about that?
Wow.
Like, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
So, like, there are multiple teams that held on maybe one or two spots and crazy money, because those schools got crazy money. You saw the thing, Big East, I think it was Xavier, and they had to testify under Congress. I think they had like $14 million they're paying for their roster this year. $14 million.
Wow.
So, like, there are teams that have held off, I don't know, $1 million, $2 million, not just for a Brock, but like for guys like this. Now, and if you Google, Langston's in a lawsuit, I believe, in California. It's public knowledge. But same idea. That now, again, you know, will Langston come back to college? I got no clue. But he's in a lawsuit, so it's out there. Like, the assumption would be that, you know, would he go back to Minnesota? Is he in the party? Who knows? And like, it was up here just a little while ago, bring all these guys back up, right?
Yeah, you're getting, yeah, that's cool. Seeing all these dudes coming back.
These are all our
man.
Guys, but like at the same point in time, like someone told me the other day, it's like, at some point the money might get more regulated. You know, this thing might get more capped out, but like right now, for all these guys, if you get a chance to make that type of money, you know, you got to look at it. You know, you got to look at your future, because it literally will be, in theory, for most of these guys, the most money they'll make in the history of their lives.
Yeah.
The most money they'll ever make playing basketball, at least.
Yeah.
So you have to look at it for like 6 months. Man. I don't know where it goes, man. But, you know, I know Brock is really, and I'm sure, you know, probably listening to this, and his mom loves listening to this stuff, you know, and he does not like this attention. And I get it.
No, and anytime.
But he's in the lawsuit. And I told him, I said, if you get in that lawsuit,
get ready.
It's, yeah, now the Denver Post grabbed it. And so, like, I'm sure his phone's blown up, but I feel a little bit bad for him. But at the same point, you know, well, once you ink it on there, like, that's what's going to happen a little bit.
It does.
And it's great.
Even though, like, from my, you know, my perspective, we're in that you live in this. I know, I'm like, yeah, that actually makes sense. They're, I feel like his class is kind of getting screwed. That this is the fight I would support if I were, you know, a person had some say into Brock Wisney's life.
That's right.
But anytime you read a headline, Ann Delaney's former UNC hoops player ineligible under current rules is suing NCAA. That's not a positive headline. It's just not. If you know, it's like, yeah, that all this makes sense. But it's not one of those that jumps out as.
Hey, you got to understand the ramifications. Yes. Those kids, and hey, look, like that class of 2022. If they didn't register, they didn't get 5 years. They got four, right?
Yeah.
And it's even like you want to get back to graduation. Well, I got 4 years. I'm not graduated yet for some. Brock graduated, but like some of those, hey, I played 4 years and graduated, transferred a couple times. I should get a fifth year to finish my studies.
100% they should.
So like there's a lot of.
A lot in there. I full on support.
Yeah.
We're going to have Brock Wisney's lawyer on the whole show.
Oh, nice.
Because I did reach out to Brock and he's like,
dude, you probably can't talk about it, right?
I can't talk about any of this
NBAs
stuff.
And
I said, all right. And know me, I'm not pressing. So I said, okay, man, that's cool. And he said, but here's my lawyer's contact information. So I shot her a text and she's like, yeah, can I talk to you before? So we went through some things because they want to be careful.
Fascinating stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's the ins and outs of the actual, I don't know. I have no idea the lawsuit. Fascinating. But, you know, the crux of this, and this is not, that's on the first, there was a lawsuit that already got passed. I think it was based out of Ohio. And there was like, maybe 15 men's basketball players were part of that lawsuit, and then they all got their year back as of right now.
I think it's
the other tricky thing, though, that people are saying too is like, if these players that you know, they get this injunction from the judge, they go to these power fours, whatever it is there ever, because the NCAA is going to appeal this? What if they win the appeal? That'd be stuff to ask the lawyer. What if they win the appeal, or what if they don't? But the NCAA says, hey, look, these are our rules; they can play, but if you play these guys. Those games are, what am I trying to say? You forfeit.
Really?
I don't know.
They could, I mean.
You can look, it's familiar. So this is just, again, it's just, it goes back to, I've been saying this for about 3 years, Harvard case study. This is a fascinating Harvard case study in about 10 years. This is the disruption of college sports.
It's insane.
I don't have any answers to this. I don't have no clue what's going to happen to this stuff.
And you, again, I say this a lot, but you kind of became a head coach of a Division I head basketball coach. At the beginning of all of this stuff.
At the beginning, yeah. So it's chaos.
You had to navigate through. You didn't get like, you know, 5 to 10 year learning curve. You had to jump right into it.
We had 5 to 10 months, man. 5 to 10 weeks, you know, chaos.
I remember talking to you during COVID and you and I were just starting to get to kind of know each other. And it's like, hey, we want to do these Zoom things. You want to do it with me? And that's how we had to communicate. That's how you communicated with your donors.
You got to get the donors going. Yep.
Players, former players. That was just the way to do it.
That's what it was.
What a wild time it was.
It's crazy.
Already 6 years ago. Coach, it is cool. You know, seeing on social media all these former players popping by, seeing you guys.
It's awesome.
We've talked about that before. Just your ability to keep that relationship with these guys. And that's hard to do because you're developing more relationships every single year.
It's a lot. Yeah. You know, Like relationships are two-way street, right? You know, it's like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. It's two-way street, right? But it's fun, man. Like we always invite these guys back. Like, hey, if you want to come back, talk to the guys, and we kind of, you know, build it off of their professional journey. Because at the start of our recruiting process, I think the goal of all these guys is to develop into becoming a pro. Well, we got all these guys that are pros now, so it would behoove us to bring them back and say, look, man, like this is what it's like over there. And what we do though is. kind of the script is like, okay, we started off like it was summertime. So, okay, what's one thing you miss about college in general? Not just UNC, but just in general. What's one thing you miss about UNC? Take yourself back to the summertime, like your first summer with the Bears. Where were you at mentally? Like, I remember Jonah, and his word was spinning. He's like, I was just spinning. Mm. So complicated, right? But then it slows down. The game slows down because a lot of my guys are spinning. So, like, for these guys, my current team, to hear it from a Jonah, a Matt, a Dalen, a Butt, right? Like, those guys saying, hey, look, it's going to get easier if. But, like, Jonah, Matt, like, hey, at the same point, they told the guys, it's your job. It's your responsibility to learn this stuff. Like, it's your job to catch up. And it was, it builds credibility. It builds some accountability. It's a different voice for our guys to hear in the summertime. We just finished yesterday's the last day. Like, we finished our eighth week. We're done. So if it's just my voice and then our staff's voice, which is a huge part of this, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But if you can have Bodie come in there and talk to these guys and Dalen come in there and talk to these guys. And what was cool too is Matt and Jonah came in together. Well, what's their story? The dudes were walk-ons. Walk-ons. Mm. So like our guys, walk-ons, they were redshirts. They were guys that barely played their first year. You know what I mean? Took Matt Johnson into his third year before he actually created a role so that the true test of the test of time, you know, they didn't have, immediate success. So it's great for those guys, right? There's a part of my team that can relate to that. Hunter Caldwell, Tanner Marquise, who knows? I'm a freshman. Like, we'll see, right? But then Bodie came in, totally opposite. Big Sky freshman of the year, yep. Day one, 35 minutes game. So yep. He came in, hey, we need you to play right away. Boom. Well, what's Dalen's story? High level transfer. Yeah, top 150 player. Went to CU, turned down Nebraska, Oregon, all these guys. Like, this is a legit borderline four-star player out of high school. I got guys like that, right? And Dalen coming in with such a humble, selfless attitude and not an arrogant, egomaniac. Nah, he's just trying to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to hear these different things. Guys that had to wait. A guy like Bodie came as a freshman producer. A guy like Dalen came as a transfer. And we're connecting all these dots. We didn't, intend for it to be that way, but that's kind of how it shook out. Danker's coming back in. He hadn't played in pros yet, but he's coming back in late August, and our guys will be around. And he's going to talk to him a little bit about, his NBA workouts. He's going to talk about his workouts in Vegas, which were crazy. By the way, you should hit Quinn about that. Lo and behold, he got, I'm not going to spoil the beans. You should get him on the whole show, but
yeah, for sure.
5-on-5, his workout with his trainer got picked up on some social media by one of the top NBA trainers, Phil Handy. So Phil Handy told his trainer, bring this dude over to this workout with Kyrie Irving. Now, this really happened.
Saying
he thought he was going to work out with Kyrie Irving. He didn't. He got to play 5-on-5 live against the Mavs starters.
No kidding. That'd
be Kyrie Irving, Cooper Flagg.
Wow.
And he played well. That necessitated him getting a workout with Vic Oladipo in front of 32 NBA teams. And now it's generated different types of interest. So, like, you got to get Quinn on. It's crazy.
This is
crazy stuff.
Nerd so like, now a little bit. This is cool. Yeah.
So, like, these are the things that happen. So, Quinn talking about, hey, be ready when your number's called. Be ready for these, whatever it is. So, but, yeah, getting our guys back. Yeah, it's about the pros. But, two, it's also about, like, what they always say is, like, this is going to be the last team that you're really a part of. College, that is.
Yeah.
Get to the pros. It's just grimy. It's great, but it's like to be a part of a team, it's hard, man. Guy, and Joan was like, look, I'm the same way. He's like, I'm 29 years old now, so when I'm done with practice, I'm going home to my wife and kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just different. And so, to hear that. And another thing, too, Joan was just named top 50 all-time players in the Basketball Champions League in Europe. It just came out yesterday. We'll pop it on social, but make a mental note of that. Jonah Radabaugh. Is one of the top 50 players in the history of the Basketball Champions League in Europe.
That's insane.
You'll see some social.
What a tremendous player, man.
Yeah. So, having those, that's been a fun part of our summer kind of curriculum, if you want to call it that.
It's cool for, honestly, on my side of it, too, because, again, being starting to really ramp up my show and my coverage in this area was around the time you took over as head coach. So to follow those players that have been a part of this, to kind of see them offshoot and go out there, it's been really cool to kind of be at the beginning of that.
And the other thing, too, I just popped in my brain with Jonah and Matt that came up the same day. And then Zach Block was there. And we don't have Zach talk to him yet because he hasn't had a pro experience. But he's a pro, obviously. So, but those guys, hey, can we get some run with your guys? We threw those dudes in. Just run around with our guys, and the level of the whatever we were doing, it went through the roof because now you got pros out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll run around a little bit.
Is it weird seeing all your old guys in that gym playing, practicing?
Cool.
It's almost like they're practicing. Is it weird?
It just connects dots. Yeah. And
to take you back a little bit.
And I was telling stories of guys how Matt Johnson, he couldn't throw a left-handed lob. And so he was stealing maybe 6 points a game from Coor because Coor was on that team. And the, you know, Matt was one of my favorite dudes ever, but I remember berating him in practice how he was killing us because he couldn't throw a lob. And some guys would get in their shell. Some guys would mope around. Matt Johnson, the next day, he started throwing left-handed lobs. And he kind of looked at me crazy. I'm like, all right, dude, like, that's mm-hmm. that's what the response is. Like, because the team needed that. So, like, yeah, you can go back to all this stuff. Jonah couldn't get through his first Linder workout. Skill where he couldn't get through it. Like, throwing up and on the side. And we're like, who is this guy? Well, about 3 weeks later, we're like, we'll never be able to take him off the court. He's so good.
That's awesome.
You got to respond a little bit. And that's what that's like as we get to our current team. That's what we're dealing with. Like, how do you respond?
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be easy. How do you respond?
It's what separates guys from that can continue on to a good college career and beyond to the ones that kind of just fizzle away.
Only true test of time, as we told you. So we just finished our workouts, too, 8 weeks in. So our current team, I'm excited. Now, we're not fully there yet. You know, Egan was hurt almost the entire summer. He just got cleared yesterday. Nothing major, but he just got cleared yesterday, and so we didn't have him practice. But so we don't have Egan, who's going to be a huge piece of this. I mean, I feel like Egan should be an all-league post player for us. He's ready. I think he's really ready. We didn't have him for a big chunk of the summers. He was rehabbing. And then our Australian freshman, who's really Australian junior, I don't know what we call him, Campbell Block, who we think is going to be a special player, can't bring him up in the summertime. So he'll be here August 10th. But so two we feel like are critical pieces. We're not in the mix for most of the summer. But even with that being said, I'm really excited. I think we got a smart team. I think we got a skilled team. These guys are all about the right stuff, but what the focus is for these guys, and the reason we stretched out to the full 8 weeks that we're allowed to do, we usually didn't do that. Usually like 6 weeks or seven. It's just too much. But we went the full eight. And the reason why is like, it's a race to maturity. Like we got it. We got to, you know, you take that banana, right? And that banana, it's like green right now, right? It's got to get yellow. Like we got to ripen this stuff up and we got to race to maturity because, you know, we just have a little bit younger team. We're not crazy young. All our guys, for the most part, like 20 to 21 years old. They're not 18.
Yeah.
Most of them, but they're not 23. So we've got a race. Some have had some college experience, but not 5 years, right? It's a race. It's a race to maturity because we don't have a ton of guys like last year with Brock, Quinn, Zach coming back. I mean, there's so much institutional knowledge, and they're such a mature team. Our floor was so high. I'm not sure how high our ceiling was, but our floor was so high. Our ceiling's through the roof on this team. But our floor is lower if we don't get this team to catch up. So it's just it's a massive race of maturity. But I'm glad with how the summer went. We pushed these guys. We basically had 12 guys in practice, and so they're getting over-repped, and they're getting tired and this and that. But you know what? Like, getting those reps, what a blessing. And so I'm excited for where these guys are going. Our returning guys, all six were here. Obviously, Egan was out kind of injury-wise for most of it. But those five guys that were in the mix and then seven new guys in the mix because Campbell's not here yet. And I think the vibe's good. I think they really like each other. I think the culture, the chemistry, all that type of stuff is great. But it's a race of maturity.
You talk about a race. It's July 23rd as we record this. You got a race coming up as far as you're going to get people cooking here in August and somewhat big announcement.
Yeah, it's not as crazy. Like we used to do like the last year we did this Portugal foreign trip, big deal. Took us 4 years to raise the funds for it. You know, over a week long. Well, the rules have changed where you're allowed to do a foreign trip every year. To be clear, we're not going to have the money to do this every year. We're going to have the money to do this maybe every 4 years. This is kind of how we've done it before in the past. You know, with our round balls being able to, because it's all, none of this is school funded, right? It's all privately funded through our donors. Our donors are the best. And so it took us 4 years, and that was the goal, is to put, you know, a few of those acorns away every year to have enough money in the fourth year to go to Portugal. Well, we got gifted a really unique opportunity with this rule changing that now teams, like for instance, teams in the Dakotas, teams in Oregon and Washington, they're creeping up to play teams in Canada at the end of summer. Maybe it's only one game. But if you can create a foreign trip to play one game, that's great, right? And then it gives you more official practice. You get 10 practices before then. Just more time with new teams. It makes sense if you can do it. Well, we don't live on a border, right? Last time I checked. But we got kind of gifted the opportunity through a private group to say, hey, look, this group is creating kind of this – I don't know what you say, this experience to go to Puerto Rico. They're connected to Puerto Rico. And we did Puerto Rico as a foreign trip a few years ago as well, actually. Yeah. But so we're familiar with that. But with this group to go to Puerto Rico, play a game or two, whatever it is. And they're, since this is the first year test case, they're giving us a great deal, like beyond a great deal. And so like, we're like, this makes perfect sense to do this. Maybe there's a little bit of money on the side from the donors as well that we got to throw into as well. But like, this is a no-brainer. What we're going to do though is we're not taking 10 official practices. That's way too much. Like, I don't want to burn these dudes out. But what we're going to do is school starts 24th, which is a Monday. We're going to bring these guys in Sunday, August 16th. They just went home last night and today. They still get almost 4 weeks off, which is great. These guys need they need a break. They've been grinding. But we're going to bring back 16th. 17, 18, 19, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to practice three times. Three foreign trip official practices, right? So we're going to knock those out. And then we're going to pop in a bird to Puerto Rico on a Thursday. Get there, eat at this facility that we're actually going to play one of the games. We're going to lodge at this facility. This is not like the most glamorous 5-star hotel. We're lodging at this place. It's going to be really cool though for our team. You talk about like, hey, getting to know each other and stuff. We're going to lodge at this place. We're going to play a game on Friday. And then we're going to play another game against pros. And then we'll play one more game on Saturday, offsite against this team. I don't know which team it is, but like this really good Puerto Rican team. Professional in their arena. They're going to open up to the public. They think they might get a couple thousand people to show up to the game.
Nice.
What a great experience.
Cool, yeah.
You know, in August to play, you know, you got 2,000 of the locals screaming at you. And so that's the theory of it. Play it Saturday. And then fly back Sunday morning early and get back by like 2 o'clock on Sunday. So the most condensed.
That'll be a compact schedule.
Oh, man, it's brutal. Yeah. Compact. But it's like, why? One, it's a good opportunity. But two, we lost Egan all summer. And Egan knows the stuff, but like it gives us now a chance. He's going home for a couple days, come back, and he's going to get back in shape and this and that. And gives us a chance to throw Egan in the mix. And then also, too, throws a chance for us to throw our Australian player, Campbell Blogg, in the mix. He's coming up August 10th. Get him cleared medically, all this stuff you have to do before a guy can practice and stuff. Get him a couple workouts, whatever, throw in the mix. And now it won't catch up the full summer for him, but it'll catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
And now we're rolling going into the fall. So it's not about the trip so much. It's about speeding again, it's a race of maturity. So if we're about that and we get an opportunity with this outside group that helped us so much and, you know, we've got some money in the piggy bank right now, okay, well, let's subsidize it and let's go. Let's do it. And the more I talk to guys on the road in July in Louisville and Vegas, it's amazing how many teams are trying to find ways to, you know, like I said, get up to, if you're in the northern part of the U.S., get up to Canada for a game, you know, get to the Caribbean, whatever it is. We are the test case for this group in Puerto Rico because we have a relationship with them. What they'll ultimately do in the future years is they'll expand it out to bigger schools, the Arizonas, the Kansas, whatever it is, bring those teams out because those guys will have the money to do a foreign trip every year. But to go to Europe every year or to go to Australia every year or to go to Japan, that's a huge investment in time even too. It's, you know, it's jet lag, it's time travel, all this different stuff where the Puerto Ricos, it's just off Miami, right?
Yeah, right.
The Puerto Ricos, the Bahamas, the South and or the Central Americas, I'm telling you, you're going to see teams doing this more and more and more because it's not as big of a time commitment. It's not as much wear and tear, but it's a great opportunity to go play some games.
Yeah, and get everybody together in that condensed schedule. Yeah. You learn a lot about yourself pretty quickly.
We've scrimmaged 8 times internally. I've learned a lot about our team. We're going to play 2 games in Puerto Rico. We're going to play, and I can't announce all this yet, we're going to play 3 either exhibition or closed scrimmage games in the fall, plus our round ball roll call scrimmage, which you'll be invited to. There's 4 hits right there. So 2 in Puerto Rico, 4 hits. There's 6 more hits kind of publicly against other teams or whatever it is before we play a game. This will help us get this race to maturity. And I got to learn, who are we going to play in this? I don't know yet,
yeah.
But we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And this will be a big piece of that.
Well, we're getting through it, Coach. Next week will be our last week of July. So
it's crazy.
We'll be in the August mode. So.
Yeah.
It's a coming, and I'm looking forward to it.
Just glad to be back,
yeah.
You know, chopping it up. I'm super excited. Guys are tired. I'm tired. It was a great summer. Chance to hit the reset button for a few weeks for the guys and this and that. They need that. You know, it's a super long season, but I feel like we really accomplished a lot this summer, not just on the court, but all the little things, whether the pros coming up, whether taking the guys to a movie, whether, you know, whatever it is, you know, bowling challenges, just having some fun with these guys to really, really like this team. I think our ceiling is through the roof, but our floor. We got to raise that floor by pushing a little bit. And so we've done a good job, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see you know, what you guys do in the meantime to kind of raise that floor.
That's it.
Here in the next few weeks, few months, yep. I should say. You want to shout out to Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks, great
Hicks.
Sponsor of the two-man game.
Big shout out there. Yeah, big shout out to Renaissance. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to see, you know, Ryan the last couple weeks at the GCC Tuesday Night League because I actually got injured. I'm just getting off the injured reserve list. Yeah, I sliced my foot open at the team leg day. And got stitched up. And so, you know, the stitches in the glue in my foot, I've been banned from golfing until the stitches actually came out on Tuesday. And my first,
man.
So, like, I haven't seen my guy Hicksy, you know, in quite a little while. But I'm off the IR and Coach Lamb on the Tuesday Night League and our third party, Cody Ball, who's a heck of a golfer. They've been holding the fort down. Of course, I'm the bad golfer, so they've actually surged in the standings.
Well,
man, I tell you what, you know, now that we're done here, I got a charity thing we're doing tomorrow at Highland Hills. Shane Mendenhall, ISS, huge support of all
great
these
dude.
Different things.
Yep.
You know, the Brock Wisney show, right? So mm-hmm. I get a chance to see Shane and Jamie tomorrow, and then got another one I'm planning Monday, and I should see Hicksy and Shane as well on Tuesday when my triumphant return to the Tuesday Night League. I can't pivot on my right big toe. That's the toe I cut.
You gotta get that. You gotta
the stitches are out.
Yeah.
The stitches are out, and so now like I just gotta pivot. Now I'm such a bad golfer, it doesn't matter. But I'm not trying to like you know. Reopen wounds, you know, to play some golf.
Put a sign up that says, hey, bad toe. That's why that shot was
unfortunately,
bad.
Unfortunately, too many people know so far. So I'm getting it pretty bad from the locals. So I'm coming back, man, with a vengeance.
Yeah. Coach, appreciate you, man. And then again, all the supporters out there and the connections that we're making through this podcast. Absolutely love it.
Got to keep rolling, man.
We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
All right.
Yeah.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!